That's one true voice here on East Point Radio and Shakespeare's Way with Words. Great to have the pleasure of your company as always. If you'd like to contact the station, our email address, studio@eastpointradio.com. It's always good to hear from you. And at this time, 10:45 on a Monday, we have a feature entitled
Anglia
In Focus,
where we invite individuals and organisations to join us live on the programme. And this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Neil Dodge from the Suffolk Guild of Ringers. Good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Jolly good. Now, it's coming up, of course, to a very festive and busy period for you, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about the Suffolk Guild of Ringers.
Yes, absolutely. So the Suffolk Guild of Ringers is a charitable organisation founded nearly 100 years ago. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary next year, and we look to cherish church bells and ringing within our diocese. So we're responsible for looking after the bells at around 200 of our churches, and we have around 650 members which help ring those bells, and we provide grants to support their maintenance. We also run a packed schedule of events for ringers to develop their skills, as it's a lifelong pastime which people pick up. And there's always something new to learn, and always a new tower to ring at. So that's our main purpose. We do lots of work and have a packed schedule, and we'll be doing lots of ringing this coming Christmas.
No, I'm sure you will be. And it must be so rewarding, I would imagine, for everybody involved with the Suffolk Guild of Ringers, to be able to sort of go to a tower and to ring the peal of bells, however many bells they have in that particular town. Must be very rewarding, I would think.
Yes, we certainly feel like we're part of history. I mean, bell ringers existed in the form that we hear today in Suffolk since at least the late 1600s. Yes, it is a sound with a story. It's connected and intertwined with people's lives. Births, marriages and deaths are all marked with the sound of bells. And it's a very evocative sound. Recently, with the passing of the Queen, we know of local residents that were moved to tears by the sound of bells. We're very honoured to take part in this historic tradition, but a living tradition as well.
Now, I know that you have a very unusual belfry in Suffolk. I think it's just on the Suffolk-Essex border, actually. And the bells are actually in a cage, aren't they? At is it East Burghold?
That's right, yes. East Burghold is a unique example amongst the very unique world of ringing as it is. All the other church bells are hung from wheels, and they sit at the top or halfway up church towers, and they're rung with a rope attached to that wheel, so they rotate 360 degrees and then 360 degrees back again. But at East Burghold, the tower was never completed for various reasons, not entirely sure, but Cardinal Wolsey had some involvement in the local area, and his fall from grace meant that the tower was probably never completed. So the bells were hung in a temporary, and this is going back several hundred years, of temporary structure in the churchyard. Like I say, that was called the bell cage. So this is a wooden setup with the bells hung, but without wheels and without ropes. But they are still rung the same way. So the bells rotate 360 degrees, but it was all done by hand. And this is very unusual also. They're the largest ring of five bells hung for full circle ringing as well. So they are very heavy, the largest of which weighs over a ton, and this is rung by a single person. They all wear earmuffs, of course, when we're ringing. Normally we don't have to because there's several floors between, but East Burghold they do, and it is a sight to behold. And they're all members of our guild. And yes, it's a very unique element of our art, and one that attracts many crowds when they're when they take place. But they still ring very regularly for services and for practices as well. But it is quite dangerous. Most ringing is fairly innocuous, but this you do have to be properly instructed. As you can imagine, when your head is very close to over a ton of metal rotating, you've got to know what you're doing.
Yes, certainly, I can imagine that. Now, you mentioned that it is really a lifetime commitment, isn't it, once you start to become involved with them. Would you call it campanology?
Yes. It seems people get hooked. It's there's various different strands of ringing which I think can suit any sort of character. So there's a lot of to do with the history side of it. There's a lot to do with what we call methods and compositions, which involves a lot of sort of intricate maths, which interests a lot of people. And then there's the big part is the social side of it. We go out ringing, you go out ringing every night of the week and weekends, if you so wished, all around the country. And once you become competent, after perhaps 6 months, a year, 18 months, you can then go and freely ring at other towers around the country, and you'll be welcomed. It's very much a sort of a fraternity. If you say you're a ringer, you're invited to join in, even if you don't know anyone. But usually there's not too many degrees of separation. You can say, oh, do you know so-and-so? And they'll say yes. And so it's a very close-knit community. And like you say, people get hooked. But often people take a break for whatever reason, whether they move away or their family life changes. But once you've picked up the skill, you can always come back to it. And people have come back after over 40 years, and within a few sessions have come right back into it. And so it's a great interest.
Now, I would think, as you say, you can sort of come back to it after, say, a period of time away. It's a bit like riding a bike then, I imagine.
Yes, it's very similar. We often describe it when we're teaching people. It's like riding a bike or learning to drive a car. You learn all the individual bits, and the skill is putting them together into one smooth action.
Now, can I come on to the peals of bells? There's going to be obviously many, many across the counties of Suffolk, Norfolk and Essex, leading up in particular to the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, I always think, so wonderful as hearing the peals of bells, coming across the countryside. Absolutely wonderful there. Have you got many towers which are going to be ringing literally over the Christmas period?
Yes, certainly. Like you say, the sound of church bells is the sound of this season of Christmas. Certainly our members will be very active over this period, whether that be for carol services, crib services, midnight mass on Christmas Eve, and all various kind of events. But as well as the social side, or the pleasure side of ringing, this is a time obviously when lots of people come home or have time off work, so there'll be lots of recreational ringing. That period between Christmas and New Year is you're milling around and wondering what to do, and us ringers have sort of organised a few days out, perhaps some new towers to ring at. So as well as before Christmas, you'll also be hearing some ringing in the intervening periods. But one of our flagship events is the Ipswich Christmas ringing. So this has been an annual tradition since the 90s, that on the last Saturday before Christmas, all the church bells in Ipswich are rung in the morning, again to give that atmosphere and to remind people of what Christmas is about, the connection to the church. So we will be ringing from 9:45 in the morning at St Matthew's Church in Ipswich, then St Nicholas and St Lawrence. St Lawrence is well known for being the tower with the oldest ring of bells in the country. They were all cast around the 1490s, so a very historic sound. Then St Margaret's and St Mary le Tower, followed by St Clement's. So Ipswich is very lucky in having a large number. So we've got six there, towers of ringable bells, which is very unusual. There's not many other cities, if any, apart from, say, London or Oxford, that has any more.
Now, can I ask you for some information in regard to contact details for people wanting to find out more about the Suffolk Guild of Ringers?
Yes, certainly. We're always very interested to hear from people who want to learn to ring, and more so those who perhaps rang in the past, you know, learnt in their childhood, but then for whatever reason gave up, but want to come back to it. Contact details, all the details are on our website, which is suffolkbells.org.uk, or you can also email me, which my email address is pro@suffolkbells.org.uk. Or if you hear your local church bells ringing, just go along and find out. Lots of towers practice weekly, so you may know that they ring regularly, and they'll be delighted to hear from you.
I'm sure they will. Now, I'll ask you for those details again in a few moments' time, but all the information you've been giving us there about the peals of bells literally leading up to the Christmas period and also over Christmas itself, have you got those details on your website?
So some of them are. So the Ipswich ringing details are on there, but as you can imagine, we have 200 rings of bells in Suffolk. That's an awful lot of ringing. Any ringing is generally organised quite locally amongst individual towers. So information would be within your local, perhaps, parish magazine or details on their website.
I see. Okay. Now, talking about the peals of bells over Christmas, I would think that anybody wanting to get involved in the new year period and wanting to get involved with the Suffolk Guild of Ringers, you've given out some contact details there, and I'll say I will ask you for those again in a few moments' time. But is it very difficult get into the timing of the bells? Because when you're in a belfry and you've got the ropes and everything else, the timing is very critical when to let go of, they call the dolly?
Sally.
The Sally is.
Yes.
I knew it was something like that.
The Sally is the fluffy part of the rope, generally coloured red, white and blue, although they can be any sort of colours. And it's because it sort of bobs up and down, sort of to sally forth is the origin of that word. So a lot of ringing terms come from the origins of ringing, so in the 17th and 18th century, so they can be quite archaic. But yes, the Sally. I wouldn't say it's a challenge not to be underestimated. I think the equivalent is learning to drive. It looks easy when you know how, but I think we can all remember the first few driving lessons where it's all a bit sort of muddled and not quite as smooth as those that have been driving, or in this case ringing, for many decades. So we generally say perhaps 6 months to a year of weekly or bi-weekly practices to be comfortable handling a bell on your own, and then it is a literal lifetime's worth of future challenges. There's always new methods to ring and heavier bells to ring, or indeed lighter bells. They can prove their own challenges. So it's not one to be underestimated, but it's certainly within the reach of 99% of the population. We have people learning from when they're 12 years old. As soon as you can, you're tall enough to reach the Sally, people can start to learn to ring. But equally, we've had people learn much later in life. And you don't have to be particularly strong, as the bells are hung on bearings and they rotate on these gravity does most of the work. So a 12, 13-year-old can easily ring even a 2-ton bell on their own, and indeed at the other end, I've seen people who are well into their 90s accurately control a bell. They often say the most difficult part is getting up the stairs. but once you're up, it's not too much of a challenge.
Now, are you finding that you've obviously talked about the experienced bell ringers, mm-hmm. Who've spent a lot of their life in gaining all the skills and getting involved with various towers and things like that. Are you finding lots of young people are coming through and wanting to learn the skills of bell ringing?
Yes, some, yes. Generally, people get involved in ringing through their friends or family. Perhaps their ringers. It's often a very local connection that makes people want to learn to ring. So, there is an element of that, but with demographic changes in our part of the world, we're simply living in a society where there are more older people, and as we said, it does take a level of commitment or more application rather. So it does tend to be that people are perhaps early to have taken early retirement or have moved out to some of the more rural areas of our area, and then they take up ringing then. So that is generally where our recruits are coming from now. That is the trend, but it is an exercise for all ages, and we do have members like you say, from probably out to 11 to 80 and beyond, there is a mix.
It sounds absolutely great, and I'm sure that you're going to have lots more people get in contact with the Suffolk Guild of Ringers and to get involved. Now, can you give out those all-important contact details for people wanting to find out more, literally, about the Suffolk Guild of Ringers, Neil?
Certainly. So our website is suffolkbells.org.uk, and an email address is pro@suffolkbells.org.uk, or, like I said, you can just turn up at your local tower when they're ringing and inquire with them.
Neil, can I thank you very much for being with us live on East Point Radio today and for giving us so much information. I'm sure lots of people are very, very interested in possibly becoming involved, say, in the New Year period as their New Year resolution.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. And to everybody involved with the Suffolk Guild of Ringers, can I wish everybody, and including yourself, Neil, a very, very happy Christmas. And we look forward to the sounds of the bells in the lead up to Christmas and over Christmas as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Neil. There we've been talking to Neil Dodge, who's the Public Relations Officer for the Suffolk Guild of Ringers. You heard it right here on East Point Radio. And what better than to hear the bells of St. Mary Le Tower, Ipswich, ringing the Kent treble Bob Maximus.